Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
9:43. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Time for the weekend health. And joining us as always, Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, how are you?
Good morning, Dean. Excuse my voice. I'm recovering from a bit of an upper respiratory infection.
I'm doing the same thing. How about that?
About
a little upper respiratory action this week as well. What should we be doing for our upper respiratory? I've just been drinking a lot of fluids and resting. There's really nothing else to do, right?
That's key. You know, I really like the tea with honey and lemon remedy. Mm. It really has a soothing effect. And tea also has a natural antibiotic in it. Tetracycline is a component of honey. So that's why I like the honey. It's got a little antibiotic in it, and it feels good. It's gentle on the throat, and, of course, a little bit of sugar there to make you feel better.
I have a big thermos full of it right here next to me right now as well. So if you'll pardon our voices, we'll continue through. The big news this morning is that the Pope has been released from the hospital after 5 weeks there. Pope Francis, he appeared a little bit frail, but did appear before, the masses outside of the Vatican this morning and made an appearance. He is recovering from double pneumonia. What are the kinds of things? That's pretty serious for an 88-year-old man to have double pneumonia. He's been on oxygen. He was on oxygen this morning. They had him on oxygen as well when they wheeled him out onto the balcony. But what are the kinds of things now that the Pope should be doing, or a person who is recovering from double pneumonia should be doing in these next steps?
Well, first of all, he's very fortunate to be walking out of the hospital at all. For adults over age 65, pneumonia is incredibly serious. One out of ten elderly patients with pneumonia won't make it out. They'll succumb to the disease. So he's beaten the odds in that sense, but still a long road ahead. Somewhere around 35% of elderly adults will be gone within a year. So it is linked to increased mortality. Specifically, coming home, you will have, after that amount of time in a hospital, particularly with a lot of that time spent on ventilating equipment, you're not exercising or eating the way that you normally do. And so your nutritional status is severely compromised. And so the importance of building back up the nutrition and the exercise tolerance, you mentioned he was on, on oxygen. Unclear if that's going to be a long-term or a short-term treatment. But that would point to some of the severity of whether there might be some chronic disease left behind. And so it's going to be a long road. It's a long road without double pneumonia. Even if you're just admitted for a couple of days and go home, it's still a long road. And we're talking at least 6 to 8 weeks for most people. In his case, it could be a much longer journey.
How does one prevent themselves from getting pneumonia in the first place? We have lots of seniors who are listening, for which this can be very serious. How do you not get pneumonia?
Well, it's tough. You know, the immune system is not what it once was. Certainly staying on top of the vaccines, the pneumonia vaccine termed Pneumovax. There is an RSV vaccine that's available to older folks. If they meet criteria, the COVID vaccine, so all the flu vaccines. So these vaccines are helpful to help the immune system stay robust and geared specifically towards these common illnesses that can get you into trouble with pneumonia.
Pneumonia is a virus, though, right? So it's just it's a matter of avoiding getting the virus, of being careful to not have germs spread upon you, where then you can become susceptible to pneumonia, if I'm understanding it right.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely, viruses can cause pneumonia, as I mentioned, COVID and RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, but it can also be bacterial. And so strep pneumonia, very common bacteria, Streptococcus pneumoniae, very common cause of pneumonia. And then there are fungal microbes that can lead to pneumonia in less common cases, but it does occur.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with more with Dr. Jeremy Silver. If you've got questions, comments, The Week in Health is on WGN. It is 9:52. Dr. Jeremy Silver with us from Kishwaukee Hospital this morning. Many of you enjoying a nice cup of coffee this morning. And, you know, people have said, be careful with coffee. There could be some health risks. Turns out that may not completely be the case, right, Dr. Silver?
Yes, that's correct. I think we're learning more and more that a moderate intake of coffee, and that's 2 to 4 regular sized cups a day, is thought to be linked to reduced cause of death. And also, in terms of specific disease states, lower risk of coronary artery disease, lower risk of stroke, lower risk of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, not to mention lower risk of type 2 diabetes. So there's even some thought that it may help reduce the risk of cancer. There was a study that came out recently looking at your gut microbial composition. Those are the bacteria that live in your intestinal tract and help you both from an immune standpoint and also in terms of digesting food. And it's thought that coffee is a motivator to produce more of these good type of bacteria. So the more we learn, the more I think it's safe to say that coffee can be very helpful. Of course, you want to avoid overdoing it because it can lead to jitteriness and palpitations. But if you can handle it, certainly would support that.
Got a call in from Kevin for Dr. Jeremy Silver. Hi, Kevin. You're on WGN.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Dr. Jeremy. I'm 64 years old. I'm having a lot of pain in my hands, and it's not like arthritis, like joint pain. It's just like the tendons are really stiff, and it seems to be getting worse all the time. So my doctor said, because I told him I lift weights, and I think that's causing a lot of it, and he said, that shouldn't hurt your hands. I'm going to send you to an arthritic doctor for, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. But I just wonder what your thoughts were. Is it just because I'm aging? Is there anything I can do about it?
That's interesting. Thanks for your question. I guess I have a couple of thoughts. One is, I always, when patients tell me that they think the problem is linked to X, Y, or Z factor, I do put a significant amount of weight on that, no pun intended. But yeah, it may be kind of multiple issues. There may be some arthritis, and as you mentioned, some strain to the hands. And so it may be helpful to reduce the actual amount of weight that you're lifting and go with higher reps. The other thing that I can tell you is, from some personal experience with physical therapy, Pilates is an amazing way, to build strength, using your own body. With cables and sliding sliding equipment that you sit on. It's called a reformer. And so if you ever have the opportunity to take a Pilates class, I'll put my plug in for that. I think it's a great way, again, to build strength with a very low stress on the various parts of the body, the various joints, especially in the wrists and hands, which can weaken somewhat over time.
Kevin, let me ask you a question. I'm not a doctor, but my initials are DR after all. The pain that you're having in your hands, is it like electrical?
No, it's shock. It's just like stiffness, soreness. I'm a mechanic. I've done a lot of work with my hands. It's cumulative, I think. Over the years, it's just a lot of hand work. I garden, things like that, you know, working on cars. So,
Doctor,
I think I'm just wearing out.
You know? Yeah, I hear you, Doctor Silver. Could this be something like carpal tunnel?
Well, there's so many different issues with the hand. The hand is a complex structure in the human body. It has a lot of degrees of movement, and there's a lot of pieces of machinery, if you will, in the hand. There's lots of pulleys, and so, you know, over time, particularly those who have been working with their hands, as this caller has, you can develop inflammation of the lubricant inside, the synovial fluid in the joints, which can break down. The cartilage can break down just from the constant rubbing and friction, the frictional forces of constant usage. And that can lead to bone-on-bone interactions, which then promotes more inflammation and soreness. Certainly, the ligaments and tendons are very small, and so would be susceptible to chronic overuse. And you know, like you said, you know, over, you mentioned it, you made a perfect statement of the cumulative effects of, you know, using any object. You can think about any tool in the toolbox. I have, you know, I have some wrenches in my garage that were handed to me by my dad, and you can tell they've been used thousands of times. And so the same thing with the human hand. You know, over time, it's just going to start to break down from a variety of perspectives. And so the best treatment, apart from doing what you're doing and seeing the appropriate specialist, and maybe a rheumatologist or an arthropod might be useful, just to kind of hone in on that, like a hand specialist or someone mm-hmm. who specializes in inflammation of the joint, like a rheumatologist, could potentially recommend a drug that could help with that inflammation that might help kind of modify those symptoms a little bit. And then, of course, you know, the weight bearing is key, because the more weight over distance is going to create more destructive force. So if you can lower the weight and increase the reps, you might find you get more out of your workouts.
Yeah, Kevin, good luck with all of that. We appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Dr. Silver, as always, thank you. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doc. Thank you.
Dean, feel better soon.
You too. Thank you.